I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronnie. How's it going, bud?
How's it? It's going well because we've established that I've been beating you in every competition of Super Brew under the sun.
Yes. Have you been drinking, hey, on a Monday evening?
I have. I'm a little bit bubble-less today. I'm not working today as well. I have some friends over. Yeah.
Continuing the trend of last week, hey, engineers, do you guys ever do any work?
We do. In fact, I'm giving a presentation this coming Wednesday too. So yeah, this engineer seems to be flying.
I thought you were going to say engineering. So Ronnie, you've got friends of ours, hey, from the Buddy Moon. They're visiting you at the moment. How's the weekend been with them?
No, it's been exhausting. I've got blisters under my feet. We've been roaming the street, announcing ourselves at every corner with the kudu horn. And yeah, it's been very fun.
Oh, no, lacquer. That's good. It's good. I'm bleak that I'm not there to join you guys and adventure around. Is the weather at least?
Yeah, the weather was all right on Saturday, and it was a bit rainy yesterday, and today it's overcast. But yeah, just to go back to what you're saying, I'm glad you're not here because I stay in a very tiny apartment, and I've been relegated to literally my bed. That's the only space I have, and they've dominated every other square foot of this apartment. And in fact, they're actually standing and looking at me right now. But the reality is now I'm sitting here in my bedroom because it's the only space I have.
Feeling a little like a goldfish, are we?
Yeah. How does a goldfish feel?
I don't know. You tell me. You're being stared at from the outside.
Yeah, they're all looking at me, so it's quite awkward. Yeah, to do this. But we've had some interesting events occur yesterday. We got stuck on the sixth floor in the lift. It wasn't just a case of the lift stopped working. The lift was shaking and dropping every second or two. So Daniel was screaming at the top of his lungs. And I had to be like, calm down, just relax. We need to think about what we're going to do here. And I then used my strength because I'm an engineer. You know, I know how to pull open the door. And I rescued Leanne out of there.
Using that big engineer brain, hey?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no. Ronnie, I for some reason don't believe you. I think if I was there and witnessed this story, it would make sense that you and Daniel were screaming your lungs out and Lee got up, sorted the lift out and rescued you two from it.
Well, they can't hear what you're saying, so that never happened.
I'm going to have to check with Lee after this. But yeah, I had a very quiet weekend. I watched a lot of the rugby and I just went hiking with Linza. Like at 2.5 degrees in the morning when we set off. And of course, dumb old Nick's only in shorts and a t-shirt. I froze my
ass. Of course, standard.
Yeah.
Standard. I have photos of you arriving in Germany in the snow wearing shorts. And on a completely unrelated note, you were sick for 2 weeks after that with the worst flu known to man.
Yeah, there was no correlation though between me wearing shorts in the snow and being sick. I mean, that would just be
completely completely unrelated, of course. I mean, Why would being cold, you know, make you sick? But anyway.
Yeah, no, Ronnie, I'm not too sure, hey? So over to the Challenge Cup. And, you know, it's a great sign because you left us and now the Sharks have some silverware. So enjoy it in Pretoria over there with the trophy cabinets quite bare. We are Challenge Cup champions, Ronnie. And not only that, I also beat you in Super Brew. So I came first.
Oh, you came 201st. Is that right? So would you like to know where I actually came from?
Yeah, I would like to know where you actually came from.
190th. So you actually had to scroll up to find my name. And I know you're smiling over there because, but facts are facts, you know, math is math.
Math is math. Well, Ronnie, you and me may be somewhere up in the hundreds, but we have a winner for this pool, and that's Howard Salmon. Howard, get in touch with us. There's some May Fork Chaw merch coming your way. Well done on a big win. You are our superest of brews.
Superest of brews. Well done, Howard. It's very impressive.
So, Ronnie, since you know your former team, who are now Challenge Cup champions, won, maybe you should run us through this game, you know, as a parting goodbye to the champions.
I would like to make a comment. Now, I know you're hoping for me to walk through this game, but I want to make a comment here. And you'll know this because we've been to many rugby games together, but I have a lucky flag, right? So I'm a little bit superstitious when it comes to the rugby. I know that there's certain rituals that need to occur in specific order for the Springboks to stand their best chance. Yeah, I've always wanted to give the Springboks the best chance, you know, so I like to not tempt fate. And it's also why I don't like betting against the Springboks ever and playing Super Brew competitions. I do it, but I don't like it. And you're right. So I stepped away from the Sharks. I needed to do well. And so I figured, you know, I need to not support the Sharks in order to support the Sharks, if that makes sense. So there's been an agenda, of course. As a lifelong Shark supporter, I knew what I had to do. I had to take it on the chin and you know, step away, start supporting the Bulls, which quite honestly are the best team in South Africa still. But the Sharks are very close second, you know, very close dear to my heart. And I thought you had to step away just, you know, give them that sort of good karma. And they went on and they pulled off a magical win against Gloucester, which was 36 points in favor of the Sharks. Gloucester's dismal 22 points. Sharks are fantastic. I've never doubted them for a second.
So I have to pause you here, Ronnie, and I have to ask some of the guys that regularly write us, like Rian and Leanne, are we accepting Ronnie back into the fold? Because I certainly don't think so. I know you guys spoke out when he changed to the Bulls and you were on my side. So I'd like to hear from you guys. Are we going to let him back in and jump back on the bandwagon?
Listen, Rian and Leanne, it was very difficult for me to not be supporting the Sharks and be very negative about them. But I did it. I did it for a reason. I wanted to bring good fortune to the Sharks. And I've known this, that unfortunately I wield this power that if I go one way, the other side may tend to actually materialize. So look, I didn't support the Sharks, but they did end up pulling off the win. And that was impressive. It was a brilliant game, in my opinion.
Well, Ronnie, in that case, if we've got any listeners in Ireland, maybe they should pay you a pretty penny to stop supporting the Irish.
I'll never support the Irish. Opening 10 minutes were, of course, very intense. Like I said, Gloucester piling on the pressure initially. And I was a little bit concerned because we weren't pulling away, but then the Sharks did pull away. And look, honestly, I was very impressed with a lot of the players. Sia Masuka, especially, that guy can kick. That guy can kick really well. And it's nice to see, because if we think about the Springbok flyoffs of past, we haven't had, you know, shoot the lights out flyoffs. You know, we've had good flyoffs, but I feel like CM is, you know, he's going to be an incredible Springbok one day. And I'm touching wood here again, just because, you know, karma and all that. I just want CM Masuka to do really well as a Springbok.
Well, I mean, Ronnie, you speak of Sia Masuka there. I mean, his stats from the Challenge Cup alone are so ridiculously impressive. 13 out of 14 conversions, he slotted for a 93% success rate. 15 out of 17 penalties over the post for an 88% success rate. 21 points in the final. And let's not forget, on top of that, he won man of the match in the round 16, the quarter, and the semi.
Oh, man.
Man on fire.
Man on fire, absolutely. Each side going on to score 3 tries, but obviously the boot of Sia, and that's the real game changer. That turned a very close game into a bit of a comfortable win for the Sharks. Look, they let Gloucester come in once or twice in the game, and then I got a little bit concerned. I actually got up and walked outside. But yeah, it was good to see that the Sharks, you know, it was, in my opinion, a well-rounded performance. And I'm going to go out and say that, look, they've redeemed themselves. Absolutely. Yes, UFC performance not up to scratch. And Gloucester's performance was also not up to scratch, but you know, both teams can be very proud of what they achieved in the EPCR. And yeah, it went well. And look, I'm happy for the Sharks. I feel like what they said, they've redeemed themselves. They're back in the Champions Cup. If people aren't aware of that, you know, they weren't in the top 8 in the URC. They can't make the top 8. But now the top 7 will go through, and 8th place will go to the winner of the EPCR, the Sharks. So we're back in the Champions Cup. We're back playing with the top dogs.
We're back, baby. Ronnie, maybe let's talk a little bit about some of the controversial stuff from this game this weekend then. And the first one up is about the fussy yellow card, but more the commentary team in this fixture, because everything the South Africans did was, oh, it's a card, it's an immediate card. You know you can't do that. And then as soon as Gloucester did something, it was, no, scratch your head. That's the time to go to the bathroom. Crickets in the commentary box.
Yeah, look, it's not surprising to me, though. We've had these sort of commentators all along. I personally feel that the South African commentators are the most neutral commentators out there, but that's also because I'm South African, right? So you look at the Australians, you look at Justin Marshall with the New Zealanders, you know, those guys are incredibly biased. You see us all around the world. It's just the reality of the fans as well at heart, and I think that's actually pretty good.
But I mean, you saw the same thing in the Toulouse-Leinster game. That commentary team was heavily in favor of the Leinster side, but it really made it crap listening for me. I wish we'd had some South African commentary available here, because honestly, some of the stuff coming out of their mouths was ridiculous. Some of it saying ox and chairs scrumming illegally. And I mean, you're watching a masterclass there from that front row. I mean, how hectic was the dismantling of that Gloucester scrum?
No, but of course that was going to happen. If you look at the quality of our front row, it's honestly impressive. Vincent Koch, ox and chair. I mean, what a front row. And, you know, those guys are going to be able to dismantle the best in the world. And they themselves are the best in the world. You know, a couple of World Cup medals in there. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah, three in the front row, Urban in the engine room. So plenty of firepower. And it really did show that Gloucester scrum was backpedaling the entire game, bar the one penalty they earned just after half time when their pitch front row took to the field. But otherwise, it was really one-way traffic. The other thing to talk about, Ronnie, then, is the Urban Etzebeth try saver. So to me, that looked like a masterclass. Urban got in there, got the ball out, rescued a try. But of course, the lovely media up north is saying it should have been a penalty try. What do you make of that, Ronnie?
Yeah, look, it's a hard side. We all have our opinions. I think what we need to do as fans and supporters, but maybe more so South Africans, but the whole world needs to do this. You need to learn that you need to be lucky. You need to be good enough to put yourself in a position where luck is going to take you that final step. You know, if you're not good enough to put yourself in a position where luck is going to win the game for you, then you clearly aren't good enough, right? And right, sure, that was a try for Gloucester. Still doesn't win the game. They weren't good enough to have a 50-50 decision win them the game. South Africa in the World Cup were good enough to take them as far as they needed to go and then get a lucky bounce of the ball to win them the game. And that's test match rugby. If it was just so black and white and clear cut, the game would not be as exciting. And you know, the randomness is I love to see the randomness.
No, me too, Ronnie. I think it's really, really like a part of the game that the bounce of the ball can have that influence. And you don't want to see it over refereed, over TMO'd. There must still be the flow. And it is really part of it. Like you say, putting yourself in the position to be that lucky. Ronnie, talk about the Champions Cup final then. And here we're talking about absolute blind luck, because the fact that you have beaten me in this pool is the most frustrating thing that's happened since my 17-hour layover in Dubai. It's
I did not realize that you were so close to me on the log there with the Champions Cup, but you backed Toulouse at the end there, and well done.
Yeah, so I picked Toulouse, you picked Leinster. I did send you a WhatsApp kickoff and say, you know, it's game on, winner takes all. Somehow in our mates pool, which is way smaller, I did beat you. And then here in this pool...
Oh, you just want to drop that in there. Okay, sure.
Yes. But in this pool, you're two positions ahead of me. So that is absolutely ridiculous. But once again, we have to give a shout out, Ronnie, because our superest of brews here is Johan Steyn. Well done, Johan.
Well done, Johan.
Oh, the Champions Cup final winner for Punt It. Get in touch, man. Some Mayfoktor merch coming your way.
Yeah, congratulations, Johan Steyn. I'm coming for you next season, I suppose. And next, clearly not a challenge, so I'm coming for you. But, you know, I want to make a comment on this, because of our smaller Super Brew group, there were only two calls that went that back to lose. And the rest of us all back Leinster, which I thought was a sensible decision. And, you know, we went with the vast majority of what Super Brew fans picked. There were two that went the other way. It was you and your grandfather and Opa. So I don't know if Opa listens to this, but Opa, I want to call you out and say, I think you and Nick have been colluding a little bit. And that's a little bit unfortunate. You know, I think there's a bit of fraud being committed.
Opa does listen to the show, so he's going to pick up on that one. And for those listening, yes, my granddad beat Ronnie as well in Super Brew this weekend. So well done to Opa.
Just this weekend, though. We make this very clear, just this weekend.
Yeah, but let's also give Opa a proper shout out, because not only did he pick to lose to win, he picked the score on the dot. So well done, Opa.
Well done.
Ronnie, over to the game then, and it was really an action-filled game. Toulouse coming out victors 31 points to 22 over Leinster, but extra time. So 15 all when the 80th minute came up, and then it really took off from there. My favorite stat from this entire game, Ronnie, is the fact that Antoine Dupont, coming back from sevens and learning how to steal, got 4 turnovers in this game, which is the equivalent of what the entire Leinster pack achieved.
Dupont's really an exceptional player. Do we go out and say that Dupont is the best rugby player in the world? And I phrase that, I didn't say the best 9 in the world. Do we go out and say that Dupont is the best rugby player in the world at the moment?
Well, you've just gone out and said that, Ronnie. So are you standing?
No, I'm asking you the question. You answer that.
I don't know. He doesn't have a World Cup trophy.
But teams win World Cups. Good teams, great teams win World Cups. But substandard teams can have great players in them.
Look, I do agree with you. And Dupont is an exceptional talent. He really, really is phenomenal. And the influence he has on the teams he plays for is great. And I mean, now it looks like he's added to his arsenal after playing for the Sevens side. Because a scrum off with 4 turnovers is something else.
Yeah, it's cheeky, right? But yeah, very impressive coming back from the Sevens, showing you that he learned something there. The school of Quagga. In my opinion, Quagga perfected that over at the Sevens, came over to 15s and showed everyone how it's done. Now Dupont's also got the same skills. So fantastic to see. And Dupont wins the player of the year.
Yeah.
Impressive.
For the Champions Cup, yeah. So
of course, yeah. No.
Definitely a quality player. There's no doubting that. I'd be curious for the audience. Maybe we'll put that up as the poll this week. Is Antoine Dupont the best rugby player in the world? You guys can let us know what you think about that. But Ronnie, we spoke about it last week on the show and said, you know, Dupont was like, yeah, they've knocked us out twice in the semifinals now, Leinster versus Toulouse, but they've never won the final. So we get to the final, and once again, the Irish side fails to overcome that mentality, as I predicted on the show last week when I said I would be backing Toulouse. And here we sit with Toulouse winning their 6th Champions Cup title. And Leinster going home with nothing again.
Six is a lot. That's 6 stars on their shirt. Fantastic. Yeah. Well done to Toulouse. They deserve every one of it. They've done very well in the Champions Cup for a number of years. So outright, there's no doubt they are the best European team over, let's say, the last 2 decades.
Yeah, they're doing very, very well and really a fantastic side to watch. I think the fact that there was no tries in the game until extra time also shows you these are 2 teams very intent on attacking, but both of them have incredible defensive systems in place. I mean, we spoke of the influence of Jacques Nienaber there last week, but really balanced from attack to defense. They can kick, they can pass, they can scrum. You know, it's really a spectacle to watch.
Look, the French have definitely turned it up in the last couple of years, and their teams play a very attractive rugby. I mean, I don't really want to talk about the French too much because they really are a good team, but we did beat them in the World Cup in the quarterfinal. I'm not sure if you heard.
Oh, yeah, I did. I remember that one, by 1 point.
By 1 point. 1 point is more than enough.
But, yeah, I think the most surprising thing when I saw the squads announced for this game was that Blair Kinghorn would be starting at fullback for Toulouse.
Over Ramos.
He's selected over Thomas Ramos. One of the most phenomenal kickers of the game. And Kinghorn really stepped up. I mean, he kept that clock ticking through the whole contest and really had a fantastic outing, if you ask me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't rate Blair Kinghorn that much, but yeah, he plays well. He really does. He's a bit of he surprises me quite a bit when he comes onto the field. Also in Test match rugby, you know, he's quite a surprisingly good player in my opinion. And I haven't seen him have a subpar performance yet. But the interesting stat that you also put down here is that all the kickers were on in extra time. What a strategy.
Because, I mean, now we're looking at it. If it had stayed a draw after extra time, it would have gone down to who scored the most tries to determine the winner. And at that stage, there'd be no tries. So the Toulouse coaching team were like, right, we can't take Kinghorn off. Let's move him out wide. Put Thomas Ramos on as well. Then effectively, they've got Intermac, Dupont, Ramos and Kinghorn that can kick for close if it goes to a penalty shootout. Whereas Leinster had one, maybe two kickers if they're lucky on the pitch. So that was going to be a big imbalance if it went down to that. As we know, it didn't. But thinking ahead from the Toulouse coaching staff.
Yeah, and it just looks like Leinster weren't able to pack enough of a punch. And Toulouse were in command as the game went on. But a little bit unfortunate for us South Africans in that we want Jacques Dinaba to do really well wherever he goes. And it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and I mean, then we go into the extra time, Ronnie, and now teams have to pick it up and push on. They've got two halves to play. And immediately we see James Lowe get a yellow card, which we thought, okay, well, here we go. It's all Toulouse's. And then Richie Arnold comes off with a red card. So that play on goes, James Lowe comes back on the field, and suddenly it's actually Leinster that has the numbers and still go on to lose the game. But yeah, cards an ever-present factor that you have to take into account in playoff rugby these days.
Yeah, but I'm still of the opinion that, you know, teams often step it up. Like, good teams are able to step it up and carry the weight. You know, 14 players to 15, you know, there's enough players still on the field. There's still 14 players on the field that, you know, everybody puts in a little 10% more and you're good to go. So you've got to be able to dig deep. And I think, you know, really good teams can you know, what's the word? Withstand take that extra 10 minutes where they are at a deficit and really perform. So I don't want to say that, you know, cards are really expensive in finals, because I think teams can step it up. But yeah, it looks like there was a bit of an impact.
Ronnie, then it was also really lacquer to see the world's third and fourth best hookers go off in this game as Malvaka and Dan Sheehan faced off.
That's a good comment.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, those guys are phenomenal rugby players. Dan Sheehan having a hell of a run upfield, coming inches close, short of scoring a try. And Malvaka really is just a menace with ball in hand. So two very attack-minded hookers, two very powerful hookers. And I quite enjoyed watching that contest.
Yeah, Malvaka's for me always a bit of a worry, right? We go back to the World Cup, you know, he damaged the Springboks a little bit there, getting some points himself. So Malvaka's a worry, but yeah, well done.
Ronnie, then, I mean, extra time, there were two tries. So Lebal gets one for Toulouse and that gets them over the edge and they start to build up a bit of a score. Josh van der Vlier comes on from the bench. He also dots down for a try. So ultimately, it really did come down to the kickers slotting those kicks, and Blair Kinghorn probably brought this one home for Toulouse.
Yeah, so I think the conclusion is you need a good kicker, and we saw that in the EPCR final. We now saw that in the Champions Cup final as well. Kickers can really change, you know, the direction of the game, and they can dominate and they can win games for you.
Absolutely, Ronnie. So Champions and Challenge Cups out the way. We then go over this weekend as the final round of the URC. Which is great. The Sharks will be ending their season. So it's good that the Springboks can then start to prepare for the test against the Welsh. Ronnie, Sharks versus Bulls this weekend down in Durban. What are we predicting?
Yeah. Look, I think the reality is that the Bulls are going to do really well. The competition's gone and lost for the Sharks. So we'll probably be trialing a lot of the youngsters, have some funny combinations perhaps. Wrapping some of our special players, you know, giving them a bit of rest, wrapping them up in a bit of cotton wool. So the Bulls, we expect to absolutely, in my opinion, decimate the Sharks.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if the Sharks are going to field a full strength team in this one. I certainly hope they do, because I took a whiskey bet at court this morning. So hopefully the Sharks can pull a surprise out, riding that high, you know, end the season off on a high with a strong squad. I'm going to go Sharks by 3. Ronnie,
that's a bit of a risky one. Bulls by 15, definitely, but you know, Sharks by 3, bold strategy.
Let's see. You're sounding conflicted, Ronnie. Maybe you weren't so genuine earlier when talking about the Sharks. Over to Cape Town, where the Stormers will be hosting the Lions. Ronnie, this is a must-win for the Stormers. They need to try and get themselves out of a position where they're traveling over to Dublin to face Leinster. Equally, big game for the Lions. They need to win it to qualify for the playoff stages. Who are you backing here?
Yeah, this is a difficult one because, you know, like you say, must-win game for the Stormers, but a must-win game for the Lions. The Lions need to target the Lions. If you're a Lions fan, you need to consider two things. You need to get maximum points, 5 points against the Stormers here, and get to 7th place and hope that Edinburgh and Benetton is a draw there and you do end up in 7th place. and you can go and qualify for the Champions Cup, or number two, you finish in eighth, then go on to win the URC, in which case you, the winner of the URC, also goes to the Champions Cup, and seventh place falls away from qualifying for Champions Cup. So that's a sort of the scenarios you need to eye with the Stormers here, ach with the Lions, if you're a Lions fan, but it's a tough ask down in Cape Town against Stormers, a strong Stormers side.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. I think Lions have more to play for, but I think Stormers just too strong in front of their home crowd. Stormers to take it.
Probably.
Ronnie, then just the news, some brief stories from the week. The Blues were petitioning New Zealand Rugby to allow Beauden Barrett to join their side for the playoff stages of the competition. New Zealand Rugby ruled against that, so Bodie won't be available for them. Bit of a worry on the Springbok front. Lotiaka, he's had a fantastic season in Japan since returning from injury, and he now looks to have injured his shoulder in the final as Brave Lupus claimed the League One title.
Yeah, so a little bit of concern. We haven't said this in a while, but maybe Lotiaka is a little bit injury prone and a little bit worrisome for his career.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern, and he really was in great form. We definitely missed him at the 2023 World Cup, so I was looking forward to having him involved. But yeah, we don't yet know how serious that injury is. Maybe he still will be. Ronnie, Vincent Koch, or as some people have been calling him on our page now, Vincent, really has an incredible record of silverware to back him up. He has won two English Premiership titles with the Saracens in 2018 and 2019. Two Champions Cup titles also with the Saracens in 17 and 19. He's now won the Challenge Cup with the Sharks. He's won two Rugby World Cups. He's won the Rugby Championship and a British and Irish Lions series. Just needs a Super Rugby, a Top 14 and Curry Cup trophy, and he's got them all.
Wow, that's very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, lekker, Vincent. Ronnie, then obviously South African elections this week coming up on Wednesday. So as promised on our socials, guys, if you get out there and vote, do it in your BOC jersey. Take it as a chance to remind everyone that we really are stronger together. But better than that, tag us in your stories as you vote in your green and gold and stand a chance to win some May Fok Chong merch. We just got the hoodies in. They're looking really, really cool. So jump on that one, guys. And Ronnie, lastly, should we end it off with a May Fok Chong moment of the week? And what a moment it was.
What a moment.
Pepsi Buthelezi with a try. What a try. Four defenders beaten. He runs it in for the Sharks. Really gets that momentum going. And that's where the Sharks really started to up the pressure, up the tempo, and put Glasgow out into second place.
Look, you're right. Absolutely impressive try from Pepsi Buthelezi. And I agree with you. Deserving of the May Fok Chong moment of the week. But something that I didn't realize at the time, but now I've seen it again in the replays. Vincent Koch's 50-22. Did you see that?
Oh, that is a tough one. The Vincent 50-22 was magical as well. Maybe we have two for this week.
Maybe, because that was quality. And I see Pepsi Buthelezi, and I raise you Vincent 50-22.
I'm going to let you make the call, Ronnie. Who's getting it?
Okay, we've mentioned Vincent. Well done. But maybe Pepsi is ended in a try. So we'll go with Pepsi.
There we go. Pepsi, you're our May Fok Chong Moment of the Week winner. Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. May Fok Chong. That was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.